What's up, everybody? Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Sports Stories with Bic here on Raw Football Talk. I'm your host, Bic, and today I got a special episode for y'all. I'm losing count of the amount of episodes. I think we're on episode 16, and today I have my good brother, Tobe, one half of Thrift Boys. How you feeling, Tobe? How you been, man?
Doing good. Busy, but you know what I'm saying? Things is good. Things is flowing, you know what I mean?
That's what's up, bro. Glad to hear that. And I was just going to say, so Tobe, if you don't know about him, just a little bit about Tobe. He's a busy man between thrifting, sparring, designing clothes, offering life tips or social commentary on the socials, amongst other things. And he's all about helping his community grow. So I'm glad to have you on the show, my guy.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. I'm glad, you know what I'm saying, to like be here. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir. Appreciate that, bro. So right off the bat, Tobe, tell us a little bit about yourself, a little bit about your background and maybe your upbringing.
Okay, so I was born in London, England. Then I moved here, I think I was like 9 or 10. I moved to Manassas. I've been living in Manassas ever since. I went to Stonewall High School. Then after that, I went
now
to
Unity Reed.
Yeah, Unity Reed. Yeah. So, and then after that, I went to PGCC, Prince George Community College. So I was playing ball out there for a little bit and came back home to Nova. And then while like I was at Nova, me and my business partner, Brown, just, you know, kind of fumbled upon doing thrift floors, and it's starting to grow into what it is now. And so, yeah, but now I live in Centerville, which is still like down the road from Manassas, but technically I don't live in Manassas no more. But yeah, so, you know, I guess if y'all want the details, I guess we'll get to that, right?
Yes, sir. And it's funny you mentioned that. I think one of the first times I actually, like, we linked up in person, because I think I was grabbing a shirt from you. I remember when Thrift Floats first started, like this may be 2014, 2015.
Yeah,
So my earliest memory was hopping on your Instagram page, and you guys were doing a giveaway for, I think it was like Nike Air Maxes. Yeah. And you guys did like a little promo where you had a Will Smith song, and all you had to do was go and comment the title and, you know, just a little bit information about the song. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, so let me check these guys out. And I'm looking through the comments and I see like nobody knows that song. And I listen to a lot of Will Smith. So I'm like, how come nobody's getting this? And all I did was comment it. And then you guys hit me back saying, oh, you know, you're the winner of the giveaway. And then I remember the next day we linked up for the first time. I got the Air Maxes. I still have them to this day. They're probably worn out, beat. It's been a good 7 years, but, you know, humble beginnings. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir. Yeah. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't remember that exact giveaway, but I do remember, especially early on, we would always used to do like stuff like that. And it's funny because early on, we would really give away steals because we were just trying to reel people into the page. But people, I guess they didn't see it, or maybe they thought it was too good to be true. But like, all right. So.
Yeah, definitely, bro. And so that was like a little bit of the thrift floors. But even before that, I think you had some experience playing competitive basketball. So yeah. How was that for you?
So I played basketball and I started playing in high school in 11th grade. I lived in London, mm-hmm. and the main sport in London is the real football per se, right? Soccer. So when I moved here to the States, in middle school, I tried out for like the soccer team, and I was actually like nasty, but I never like practiced, just because growing up in London, we just play soccer how kids play basketball. We play soccer in like the street, like every day. Mm-hmm. So I never played for like a club or like a little league team. It was just always just playing like with your friends. And when I came here, I was actually like pretty nice. I was to be like, you know what I'm saying, doing like my thing, boom, boom, boom. I went to soccer tryouts. And I'm telling this because this leads to basketball. So I went to soccer tryouts, and what was it? Yeah, so I made the team for soccer tryouts, right? But me, I was never the best student. Let's just say that, you know, I had unsatisfactory behavior. So I had two U's for my conduct of behavior. And when you play sports, you can't have like more than one or more than two or three or something. I had like two or three U's. Right. So I made a team. And then like the next day, you're just like, yo, we looked over your like report card and you can't stay on the team. So I was like, oh, true. So then that was the end of my soccer career here in the States. And then, you know, just going to like PE, just playing like ball with people, and it wasn't really good. Then I started to grow tall and it really, and I still like wasn't good. And then what's funny, what made me actually make the basketball team was my track coach. Cause I was always super uncoordinated. But like, so ninth grade, I tried out for basketball. I didn't make it. 10th grade, I tried out for basketball. I didn't make it. But I ran track in 10th grade. I ran indoor and outdoor track. And that just really got my coordination just right. Because we like had like a official track coach that was from Jamaica, had the accent and everything, Coach Taylor. You know what I'm saying? And he was the counselor at the school too. So like from track, I kind of just got really coordinated, and then my bounce started to like go up a little bit. And then the basketball coach was like, oh, you're the same guy from last year. I was like, yeah. And then he's like, oh man, you look like you gotten better. Like, AKA, you don't look like you're like a goofball no more. So then in 11th grade, I tried out for the basketball team. I still didn't play much. And 12th grade, I played like a little bit more, but yeah. So then after that, I went on to a junior college, Montgomery College in Montgomery County, Maryland. So I went to Montgomery College, Germantown, and, you know, I played there. Then our coach transferred to Prince George Community College, PGCC, in Prince George County, Maryland, played there, you know. And then after that, I tried to go to a four-year school, but things were like transfer rules and grades. So I was like, ah. So then I came home to Nova, started going to school there, but I didn't play for Nova, but I was trying to go overseas. So I was trying to get in contact with overseas and like a semi-pro for a little bit. And then I went to a couple like professional combines to try to get overseas to see scouts and et cetera, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, so the whole, like, basketball thing, it was great for me, even though I didn't get to, like, the level that I wanted to. But at the same time, I got to a level that's probably higher than most, you know what I'm saying? Because to the point of playing in college and then playing semi-pro, and then even during the summer when I would play more, I used to play in the league called Goodman League, which is basically a pro-am, and a pro-am is basically a summer league for really good basketball players. So like, you know, like during like the summer, like LeBron and Chris Paul and stuff like that would play in summer leagues. Those are called pro-am leagues. Mm-hmm. So the Goodman League is one of the more popular ones out in DC. Like Kevin Durant plays in it. I played against Kevin Durant. I played against Bradley Beal. What's it called? Akil Carr, something like that. And one legends from back in the day, like Baby Shaq and all of them was like part of it. So like I've like played with some really like, you know, some legit like players, you know what I mean?
Right.
But yeah, so you know, me just playing ball was definitely a good experience. And I definitely felt it's one of those when people say like sports translates over to life, I definitely think it's definitely helped molded my mindset from just how I view life and just a lot of things in general.
Got you. Yeah. I mean, I was actually going to ask that, like you said, you went up against Kevin Durant and Bradley Beal. And I'm pretty sure that that's a surreal experience that not everybody gets on a day-to-day basis. So yeah. What would you say is like your biggest takeaway from, you know, playing street ball?
Folks be thinking that, you know, yeah, like I can probably hold my own boom boom. These guys on a different level. Like, even people on the bench is on a different level. Like, the speed of the game is different. This is not LA fitness pickup. You know what I mean? Like, it's that boom, boom, boom. Like, people don't really understand that. You know what I mean? But just the pace of things is, and then for one of the big things, like, I mean, I was always into, like, lifting. Like, actually, my business partner, Brown, got me into, like, truly, like, lifting weights. So, like, I got to a point where I became, like, fairly, like, not big, but I was like, okay, he's in shape. You know what I mean?
Right.
But then I think it was one of my first games in the Goodman. This dude, he's actually Nigerian as well, because I'm a Nigerian too. Danny, but he played at Hampton University, and he's been playing overseas for the past like 10 years. So, and he plays in like the top like level overseas, like basically the closest level to the NBA. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, but then since I was playing the five and he was playing the five, so we was guarding each other, and that boy was strong as an ox. Like, I've never felt like a kid. Well, not a kid, but I was like, yo, like, why is he moving me so easy? So then after that game, I told myself, I'm like, yo, I'm never getting pushed around in the court like this ever again. So I started hitting the weights hard, like eight sets of eight, and doing squats and doing 100 push-ups, boom, boom, boom. But I say that because that's one of the things that hit me. It's like, yo, this is a grown man's game. Like, you know what I'm saying? Your skill has to be A1, or your strength has to be A1, or you got to be doing something A1. Like, you can't just be regular in everything and think you're going to do something. You know what I'm saying? So that was right. Definitely a big, like, wake-up call for me.
That's what's up, bro. One thing about sports, one thing about athletics is, as much as people see a lot on the outside, you really learn about yourself on the inside, like mentality-wise, physicality-wise. It really kind of molds you. It shapes you to the person that you are. And it really teaches you a lot. And so I guess straying away from basketball, like segueing towards thrifting and now sparring, those little things that you picked up while playing basketball, little things that you learned about yourself, did that transition over to like thrifting, like sparring and everything else you do today?
Yeah. So because as funny as it may, well, I like want to say funny, but for people, I guess, that didn't know me in my, like, you know, early college years, like now, like, I'm not saying I'm the most motivated or hardest working person or anything like that, but like a lot of people see me as like, okay, he's very self-motivated. He likes to get shit done or put his mind to it, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. But I was not like that in high school. That's probably why I didn't make the basketball team until 11th grade. I wasn't like that in college because I definitely would have gotten more like college looks. It was toward the end of my college year was when I started to really change my mindset. Like, yo, you actually have to work hard at something, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So then, you know, even though it can be physical, that for me, that translated over to just everything else, of like, what's your goal? How are you going to get there? You need to work hard to get there. You know what I'm saying? If it's a mental goal, if it's a business goal, a physical goal. And then in terms of fighting, because I do kickboxing, boxing, Muay Thai. So, and I've actually had a real fight. So it's not just sparring now. I just want to say that, you know what I'm saying? Man. So, I was supposed to fight again on July 24th, but I messed up my foot. So, but in terms of that, I like have this competitive streak. I'm not saying I'm like this Kobe competitiveness, but I do have like a competitive streak in whatever I do, which kind of has helped the business because I see the business as a sport in its own ways. Like, oh, like, how can I level up? Like, oh, like, he did this. How can I get to that level too? Because I'm trying to do more now. You know what I'm saying? Right. So with the whole like me like doing combat sports with Muay Thai, it was more of I was just bored of going to the gym and playing pickup ball because I was kind of done trying to go overseas because it was just one of those. I'm like, yo, like, I'm not about to be 30 and still trying to go overseas and just be one of those players that's trying to chase a dream that has passed already. You know what I mean? Hmm. So like, I was just bored of just going to the gym and lifting weights. And then I actually listened to the Joe Rogan podcast, right? And Wiz Khalifa was on it. And that was when Wiz Khalifa, because this was about 2.5 years ago or so, that was when he first got, like, super, like, swole. Well, not super swole, but, like, he got fit. Because, you know, before about 2 years ago, for people that remember, Wiz was, like, 6 feet, 100 and, like, you know, he was, like, 6'4", 6'3", like, 150 pounds, maybe. You know what I'm saying? Like, he was frail. Mm-hmm. And then Joe Rogan and Wiz was like, yeah, man, you know, I started Muay Thai, got, like, into it, blah, blah, blah. And then Joe was like, yeah, man, like, you got jacked out here, bro. Like, what happened? Boom, boom, boom. And then nothing against Wiz, but I was like, yo, if Wiz skinny ass can do this, I'm going to do this. And that's literally what I did. When I was done listening to the podcast, I literally called the first gym that came up in Google, right? Like, literally. And I've never done combat sports. I never did karate as a kid. I never did wrestling or taekwondo. I've never done boxing, none of that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not like a person that grew up trying to fight on the streets or like went to taekwondo class when he was six. It's like, you know, like I never did that. But like I called a gym and I had no idea what Muay Thai was, but I just YouTubed it. I'm like, oh, this looks interesting. I've never like seen it, but it looks fun. All right. So I called a gym. I was like, yo, do y'all do the, I think they call it Muay Thai? And then, like, the dude was like, yeah, do you want to come in for, like, a free trial? And I went. I'm like, yo, like, I don't know why. I don't know what I'm doing, but I liked it. So, yeah, so then I started, going to, like, doing that. So, essentially, shout out to Wiz Khalifa because he got me into combat sports, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that story in itself, that's a great story right there, because I do remember that time where Wiz was getting buff and everybody saw the difference. And honestly, I think what it is in life is sometimes you just need to see someone do it, and that kind of motivates you. And you're like, hey, like you said, if Wiz can do it, then I can do it. You know what I mean? So that right there is a great story. The next question kind of pertains towards like sports, like live sports events. Do you have one sport event that you want to experience live that's on your bucket list?
As much as I play like basketball throughout my life, I think because I played it so much, you know what I'm saying, going to all the camps, all of that, I got all the basketball out of me. And I've never been like a diehard fan. I love to play, but like I'm not like, yo, I have to see Kobe play or LeBron or things like that. But I think since I really got into like combat sports, I would want to see a UFC title weight, a UFC like title match live, or for more likely, I would want to see a heavyweight title fight, like, you know, Deontay Wilder versus like Tyson, like Fury, or like, you know, if I could pick any with any time frame, I definitely would want to see a Mike Tyson fight in his prime. It would have been crazy just seeing him just like mess people up like it's nothing, you know what I mean? But yeah, so I think now like I would want to go to like live combat sports more than anything, because like that's really grasped my attention in just different ways, you know what I'm saying?
Word, that's awesome, bro. And so now we get to the fun part of the show. We learn a lot about you, but now I like to call the segment pick one. So I'm gonna give you three questions, and essentially you're gonna have to pick one, so you're gonna have to choose. So you ready, bro?
Yeah.
Okay, let's get to it. So pick one. Win the Olympics with the Nigerian basketball team or own the biggest thrift store in the country?
Oh, man. See, like I know I can't do scenarios within it, but what if I just have my own. So what if I have thrift floors already, but I'm just on the Nigerian Olympic team? Can I do that or no?
You can do that, but that means that if you choose to win the Olympics with Nigeria, thrift floors wouldn't be the biggest store in the country.
See, so, but then that's the thing. I'm a hustler. So I'm like, yo, if I win the Nigerian basketball team, that means a lot of folks is going to know me and we win gold. That means the world's going to know. I'm like, hey, yo, world, come check out thrift floors and I'm going to bring it up. You know what I mean? So it's like, with me, the way my mind like tries to connect shit together, it's like, yo, I'm gonna find a way to make my shit pop. So I would go with the Nigerian, with the you know, Nigerian winning gold, because regardless, you know what I'm saying, this is just my personal opinion, I think one day Thrift Lords is going to get to that point, you know what I mean? So like, it's not like a dream that's never going to happen. That's just how I see it.
That's good. I think what you're trying to do is you're trying to find a loophole, because you think about it. You're looking at it from an international standpoint instead of just thinking from a national point of view. You win Olympics with the basketball team, and you know, you got the cameras, you got the limelight, and all you got to do is say, hey, I mean, I play basketball, but I also got Thrift Lords. So then you get that international exposure.
I like when they say loophole, because when people think of loopholes, like, what's the shortcut? I just think my mind just always kind of works in a business way, or like a trying to network type of way. Cause I'm like, if I win gold, I'm up with all of the top people. So I'm gonna plug my business in. You know what I mean? Like, yo, what's up? I got a shop too called Boom Boom Boom. And then, you know what I mean? So Thrift Floor is gonna be up. So yeah, so definitely winning the gold for Nigeria. And we need it, man. we did not do as well at this Olympic as we thought.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, yeah. Before moving on to the next question, just a little something I want to get off my chest. I think what Stephen A. Smith said before the tournament too, about the Nigerian basketball team, was mad disrespectful. And I think he only did it for ratings. I mean, at the start of the tournament, I think you even posted a little, you posted it on the Thrift Lords page as well, when he was talking about how like disrespecting the Nigerian basketball team. You know, we're calling out their names, saying like they're scrubs. Like, how is USA losing? Because the USA national team lost to Nigeria in an exhibition game before the tournament. And he came off as real disrespectful, like real blatant. And, you know, people didn't, especially the Nigerian community, they really didn't like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, man. You know, he says what he says for his rating. So I kind of briefly heard it, but not really. But he just be saying whatever comes to his mind that he thinks is going to get people to watch the show.
Yeah, definitely. All right, so that was number one. Number two, would you either play or watch college hoops or the NBA?
Okay, if it's watch or play, because there's two different distinctions for obvious reasons to me.
Okay, play. Would you play?
NBA, because I'm trying to get paid.
All right, how about watch?
Maybe it's just me, because I don't watch sports as much. And I know I like give a long like explanation to a lot of things, but I feel like back in my early 20s, or like even like college and high school, I feel like college games was more lit. The college crowd was like, oh, like jumping, like the whole atmosphere was crazy. And of course, this past year with COVID, so maybe we all forgot how that feels like, but like, the college atmosphere, just for that, like Duke versus North Carolina, like their shit, like the whole stadium, like was shake, like that's a whole just energy and vibe that like I would definitely like, you know, even when I watch it on TV, I feel like I'm there, because I'm like, yo, like the crowd is hype. It's the last quarter. I mean, the like last like 2 minutes of the game, someone blocks a shot, dunks on somebody, they're going crazy. You know what I mean? Like that whole vibe is crazy. But don't get me wrong, of course it's higher like level, higher competition. You see LeBron and Kobe and all of that, you know, in the NBA, James Harden, so on and so on. But just the college atmosphere, especially pre like COVID, where like the crowd was packed out, especially when I was younger, like it just felt like the games were just so much more live and lit. So watching, I would definitely watch college basketball games, like rivalry games, you know, games within like the, you know, conference and like different things like that.
Yeah, definitely, bro. That's a great take. And even if you think about it, like we watch the HBCU games, you know, they do the swag surfing.
Do you know what's so crazy? So the only regret that I have, so I wanted to go to a HBCU so bad, but like, I don't even want to talk about my GPA in college. In high school, it was not approved for anything. That's why I went to a junior college. But so I wanted to go to Virginia State, Delaware State, Virginia Union. One of my favorite basketball players of all time, Ben Wallace, went to Virginia Union, you know. But
you kind of look like him too.
Huh?
You kind of look like him too.
Yeah, man. Because Porfiro, like that, like was my whole like role was like just be super strong, get rebounds, and block everybody's shot. That's literally all I did. Like, I probably had some of the like I was one of the few players that would literally score like 4, like 6 points, but have a crazy impact on the game. You know what I mean? Because I would block people's shot, and with me, when I'm in the zone, I'm in the zone. So I will block your shot, then I'm talking trash. They're like, hey, yo, like, take that soft out of here, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, man, like, you weak. Ah, like, you know, like, I be getting people's heads, like, low key, you know what I mean? So, but yeah, so I always wanted to go to a HBCU. And it's funny, I would actually watch HBCU highlights in high school and in college. Like, man, hopefully I can get to HBCU and play because, like, you know, their whole bands be lit too, and like, you know, Howard University, all that shit. So, you know, yeah, man, that shit, it was definitely a vibe.
Definitely, bro. And it's interesting hearing you say HBCU, that HBCU, because like that's the English accent kicking in, right? Because in English, in British English, you say H, you don't say H, right?
So, you know, what's so crazy. You're like the, like, most people have told me I have this hint of a British accent. I'm like, where? Like, I have this normal, just deep-ass monotone voice. But then, like a couple of my homegirls just, like, said it. And then even when I'm out, like, random dudes, like, hey, yo, man, like, are you from, like the United Kingdom or something? Like, you have, like, a hint of a British accent. I'm like, what? But, yeah, so I feel I have a normal accent. But then people say, like, I say it's, like, certain words. And, like, which words? Okay, so my homegirl told me this a couple months ago. It was, what is it? So then I think this is how you say it. It's Tuesday. But, like, they're like, say that again. I'm like, Tuesday. And it's like, no, it's Tuesday. It's like, Tuesday. Or like, what other word? What is it? Sentence. You know what I'm saying? So that it's like small words, but it's not like I'm trying to put it on the accent. That's just how I say it. It's like, and they're like, "What did you say?" I'm like, "Sentence." I'm like, "No, do you mean sentence?" Oh yeah, sentence. So I don't know, but yeah. So that's funny that you like picked that up. Because I've had multiple people has, like, told me that. And I'm like, where is this accent? I don't hear nothing.
Yeah, definitely. And so you got the English accent, the British accent. You got the American accent. Now give us your best impression, Nigerian accent. We got to hear that.
You know, it's crazy. I have a horrible Nigerian accent. But, like, people that aren't Nigerian don't know that. But people that actually are, I'm like, yo, stop this fake, this horrible-ass, like, accent. But let me see it.
Like, if your mom was mad, what would she say to you?
Like, okay, so if my mom was mad, what is this, man? What do you do? You are running around like a chicken with your head cut off, You scapegoat. I'm like, damn, mom, like, what I do, you know what I mean? Or like, Tubere, you do not cause me nothing but wahala. I should send you back home, man. I'm like, damn, you know what I mean? So my, like, accent, I know it's actually, like, horrible compared to, like, other people. So that's why I'm like, all right, let me not, like, pride myself on doing the, like, accent now. You know what I mean?
Right. They definitely add the O at the end, too. Like, what are you doing, O? Come on, O.
Very true. Oh, like, it's always an O or an I. What you doing, O? My oldest child, eh? My oldest child. Mm.
My brother.
Right, you know what I mean? So, like, yeah, man, but my pigeon English is not up to par. I just need to watch this endless Nigerian just, like, movies and just, like, start to, like, practice.
There you go, bro. And speaking of Nigeria, I guess the last thing for pick one, jollof rice or fufu? What would you choose?
Pick one. That's hard. Jollof rice because of the convenience. Like, I can eat that on the road. You know what I'm saying? I put it in the microwave, boom. You know what I mean? With fufu, you know what I'm saying? You got to use the hands. You got to make sure the soup is right. You know what I mean? Boom, boom, boom. So, jollof rice for the convenience and, like, you can eat it in different type of scenarios. But fufu, that's like that Thanksgiving meal every time. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. So.
That's what's up, bro. That's what's up. And I guess last thing, my guy, if you could describe your journey, your life journey in one word, what would it be?
Can I do two words?
Okay.
Constant evolution. Just always trying to evolve. Like, once I get to a certain like level, I know this is not the last level. Or like, you know, certain ways of how I think might not be the same how I thought like 2 or 3 years ago. So constant evolution, always trying to evolve. So if it's one word, I guess evolve, two words, constant evolution. You know what I mean?
Yeah, bro. So I guess progression would be a better one word. Would you say that?
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Progression. Perfect. You know what I'm saying? Always just trying to keep on moving forward or trying to find ways to get past something if like, you know, something like slows me down or like gets in my way, you know what I mean? It's always trying to progress, evolve, all that good stuff.
Definitely. That's what's up, bro. And yeah, man, I mean, you dropped a lot of jewels today. Thrift Floors, you guys, you know, pop in every day. So last thing, how can people keep up with your work?
Follow us on Instagram, Thrift Floors, you know, follow me on my personal page, Daddy Tobes. It's Daddy _2_Tobes. No kids, you know what I'm saying? I just thought it was a catchy name and then like people would be thinking it was from something else. But yeah, so Thrift Floors is THRIFTLORDES. Our shop is in Manassas, Virginia, 7551 Centralville Road, Manassas, Virginia. And if you want to come by to the shop, you can send us a DM to set up an appointment or just keep up to date. Because there's certain days when we're in the shop throughout the day. But yeah, you know what I'm saying? We appreciate the love. Keep on shopping Thrift Floors. If you want to get fly, if you want the ladies to notice you, you know what I'm saying? Just hit us up because we're going to get you iced out. And she's going like, ooh, who is that? You know what I mean? So yeah, man. Come and shop with the Lords, right?
Yes, sir. 100%. So yeah, thank you everybody for tuning in to another episode of Sports Stories with Big here on Raw Football Talk. We had a great chat with Tobe. Make sure you check him out. Make sure you check out Thrift Floors. Make sure you guys check us out on all major podcasting platforms or on Spotify, Google, Anchor, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. Tobe, all love. Wish you all the best, everything with Thrift Floors and with personal stuff. Thank you for stopping by, my guy. I appreciate you.
Oh, yeah. No doubt.